We're doing the Sfat Tamim. We're up to the fifth chapter. We've really done a lot of the fifth chapter. We're almost finishing the fifth chapter. The Chafetz Chaim had been discussing the tendency of people to be dishonest in business and to take a higher price than is permitted or pay a lower price than is permitted. And people find all kinds of explanations why what they're doing is okay, even though the buyer might not know that the value of the item you're selling him is much less than the price you're charging, or the seller might not know that the value of the item he's selling is much higher. People find all kinds of excuses to play games when it comes to money. And he said that specifically when it comes to money, people have 49 proofs why what they're doing is perfectly okay. I'll just tell you an interesting thing that happened to me yesterday. And I saw how true this is. We had taken a bus to the airport with all the kids, and we were waiting for a transfer. You get a free transfer for the bus. So we're waiting for the transfer, and the bus we were waiting for doesn't show up. Another bus shows up. And I asked the driver, "Do you go to the airport?" He said, "Yes." So we board with all the kids. And after he closes the door, I start putting in the transfer. And he says, "I'm a different company. That doesn't work." And he's driving already. So I said, "How much is the fare?" So he told me the fare. And it would have come out to about 50 shekel. You know, instead of getting a free transfer, it would have been 50 shekel. So he's already on the highway. You know, I can't back out. I can't get off with all the kids. So, okay, my fault. I should have asked before I got on, you know, do you take the transfer? So he tells me, "Okay, but just pay for you and your wife. Don't pay for the kids." So my first thought is, okay, so it's not 50 shekel now. Okay, I can handle that. I pay him the money, and then I said, "Wait a second, but can't be all the kids come on free." So he says to me, "No, I'm a nice guy." I said, that's not being a nice guy. So I didn't tell him that. I said, "Yeah, but I still want to pay for the kids." But you know, it took me like 5 minutes as we're driving to digest what I'm doing here is dishonest. Meaning the first thought is you get on and you tell yourself, "Oh boy, I lost 50 shekel." The second thought is, "Shoo, I only lost 12 shekel." And then if you think about it for a minute, you tell yourself, "That's dishonest. I shouldn't be doing this." So again, the Chafetz Chaim says our tendency is we find many reasons to explain why it is okay. I didn't ask him not to charge for the kids, etc. We have all kinds of excuses. That's the tendency of man. I was just so surprised. I was surprised when it happened to me that it took me like 2 or 3 minutes to realize, no, this is dishonest. I can't do this. This isn't right. Part of what we have to work on ourselves, me included, is to synthesize and think it through on the spot. Is this honest? Is it dishonest? Yes?
Does this happen fragment after I decide to be close to the level of the that I find in the Torah? But because in the communist time they steal the money in this way. So then decide to be honest. Okay, but you lose the guy. You lose the, he tried, he already steal you. I mean, behave like that, force you to pay. And then he tried to be a little bit nice, don't take money for the children. In his eyes, he wants to be friendly somehow.
Wait,
so
but
lose the guy.
Two things. Number one, in all honesty, this was a different company. I should have paid attention that the transfer was within one company and I boarded a bus from another company. I didn't know. I'm not from that place. So I made a mistake. Okay, he wasn't being nasty to me. He was being fair. That's what I should have paid. Now he's coming and saying, "Let me be nice to you." But he's not taking the money out of his pocket and paying the company. He's saying, "You don't have to pay," but it's not his right. I owe the company the money. He has no right to say don't pay. So coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, he says, we have to realize that we are biased we have a tendency to find reasons why it's okay, and we have to try and be truthful. And if a person behaves the way the Chafetz Chaim explained earlier, he removes the aforementioned two reasons. What are the two main reasons why people are dishonest? Number one, a person tries to live on a status that is hard to maintain. He tries to live an affluent lifestyle, and that's just out of jealousy of others. So he tries to live that life, and that leads him to being pressured to make more money, and then he is dishonest. Vegam, and the second point he made was, a person has to know the details of the halacha, what's permitted, what's prohibited. Specifically, a person has to verify the laws that pertain to his line of business. And if he does that, so then he will be able to avoid the outcome, which is the sin of thievery. If you take away the two root causes of this sin, number one, the desire to show that you're on a higher lifestyle, that you're more affluent, so then a person has to make the money to back that show that he's doing. That's what we spent a large part of this chapter discussing. And then number two, to know the details of the law. I think I mentioned that a friend of mine went into real estate, and he came over. We sat down for 10, 15 minutes to discuss what's permissible and what's prohibited when you're marketing a house. What terms can you use that won't be misleading the buyer? You want to encourage him to buy, and yet you want to be truthful. Can you say, look, you don't have to buy this, but there are other people interested, when in truth, there's no one else interested? Or can you word it, look, you think whatever you want, but I'm not guaranteeing you that I'm holding this for you. If other people call, you have to understand that it's first come, first serve. Did you have less of an effect than had you lied and said, there are other people interested? Is that diminished effect really so important? There are ways of wording it where you'll be truthful and you'll still get the same effect. So the Chafetz Chaim says in every line of business, you have to be honest and learn the laws of that line of business. Now, sometimes being honest means working within the system you're in. Like someone claimed, I don't know if it's true, someone claimed that it's a given when you buy a box of apples that some of the apples on the bottom are going to be rotten. That they always do that. It's not that you have room to doubt whether it's 80% or 90% or 100% good. You know it's not 100% good. The question is how much is not. But everyone knows they hide the rotten ones on bottom. So if the whole market is that way, okay, then that's the given in this market. Unfortunately, everyone knows that. But if it's just because a lot of people want to play it that way, but it's not really that way, and obviously we're talking about a scenario where you cannot take apart the box and see what's on the bottom layer. If you could do that, then that's your responsibility to do. But if you can't do it, so sometimes the rules change based on the norms of that market. So that's why it takes time to sit and learn and understand each market. That's what Chafetz Chaim says we have to do. Yes?
I was just thinking that it was because of the pressure of the other apples that they get bruised more easily on the bottom.
The sellers say not that way. Yeah.
Otherwise, they don't. It's not a normal market.
That sounds pretty rotten to me.
I said at first it was a pun, and I was surprised when it wasn't.
Yeah.
In truth, a person has to teach himself the traits and learn from our forefathers. Peace be upon them. As the verse says in the Song of Songs, you, O most beautiful of women, if you don't know what direction to go, he's talking to the Jewish people, go pursue the footsteps of the sheep. Look at the markings of the sheep. That's what Rashi explains. You don't know how to behave? Look at your forefathers. The patriarchs will teach you what good behavior is. We find with Yaakov, our forefather, peace be upon him, even though his father was very rich, his father was Yitzchak, he was more wealthy than the king Avimelech, it says so in the Torah. Avimelech tells him, we don't want you around here. You're wealthier than the king. You can't stick around here. Nonetheless, even though he grew up in a house with all the amenities, what does he ask of God as he's leaving his father's house? He says, give me bread to eat and garments to wear. That's all he asks for.
As,
huh? That's what it says. It says in the Torah, so the Torah says, he'll give me bread to eat and garments to wear. At first glance, why did he have to say bread to eat? Why did he have to say garments to wear? No, what's he saying is, ordinarily, when people are wealthy, so then the way they behave in the meal is aristocratic. He spends more money than what he eats. He's got to have more of everything. And the same is true with the clothing they wear. He's got to have all kinds of different clothing. The clothing he wears, the clothing he wears when he goes to businesses, he's got every type of garment. I don't know if the Europeans are familiar with this, but in the United States, the joke is that a couple goes to Simcha in a hotel. So the husband says, okay, let's go down for the meal Friday night. And the wife says, no, I have to get dressed. So he says, but you were dressed for Shabbos a half hour ago. And she says, right, that was the clothing I saw everyone with before davening. Now for the meal, I got to wear something else. So she gets dressed fine. The next morning, of course, she's got to wear something else for the morning. After the morning meal, of course, she's got to wear something else for the afternoon walk. Now, you can't expect her to show up for Shabbos Seudos with the same clothing she wore for the afternoon, right? People are going to think she's got nothing to wear. So this is also the behavior of many men. Aval Yaakov Avinu, but the Torah is telling us about Yaakov. Av shegadal bevet Yitzhak Avinu, even though he grew up in the wealthiest house on the block. The wealthiest house in town. His father was wealthier than the king. Shaya Shir Gadol Admod. So he's coming to talk to God. We think he'd say, God, I need a lot of clothing. I need to have a choice of clothing. I need a lot of good food. No, he says, Hashem, help me out. Lo bikesh meet Hashem yitbarach. He only asked Hashem ki mechechiyut, the things he really needed. Lechem lechol uveg lilbosh velo yoter. He says, give me bread to eat. That's what I need. Give me garments to wear. I don't need more than that. The final paragraph we'll learn Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. Maybe it's worth mentioning. The Chafetz Chaim lost his first wife when he was in his 60s. And his children encouraged him to remarry. And he didn't want to remarry. He didn't think he had that many years left to live. Turns out he had another 3 decades left to live. So his children encouraged him to remarry. And then they asked him, what type of wife should we find you? And he said, now again, by that time he was already world-renowned. He was the Chafetz Chaim by then. And he said, I need a woman that knows how to bake potatoes. You know what it means? Peel the potato, put it in water, turn on the fire. That's what I'm looking for. He said, that's all I need. That's what Chafetz Chaim. Those are the Chafetz Chaim's words. Those are his words. I just need someone who knows how to peel a potato and cook it in water. That was so I'm not saying, you know, this isn't a class in Shiduchim. I'm saying it gives us an insight into the way he lived his life. He's preaching over here. It's enough to have bread and what to wear. So we should know that he also lived that way. You know, the Chafetz Chaim didn't have a hat as nice as mine. Honestly, the Chafetz Chaim had a casquette like the taxi drivers. If you see the pictures, that's what he wore.
Something is missing here. I mean, it's supposed to be poor. That means that you are holy.
I don't know if we necessarily have to strive for poverty, or we have to strive for greatness in spiritual areas, and there are only 24 hours in the day, and so you don't have to strive for the fanciest clothing, etc.
Understand what about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? They were rich, they were holy, they were pious. So I don't think that we can put just simple. Rich are bad and poor are good. It doesn't work.
For sure. We didn't say that. We didn't say rich are bad and poor are good. We said that people will very often spend most of their lives trying to fund a lifestyle that's beyond their means.
Okay.
Whereas if people would work within their means, I know a guy who lived in a container. Everyone thought he was crazy. But he said, I could live in a container. What do I need more than that? So other people would spend a lot of time working to fund their house, to pay rent, to pay off their mortgage. And this guy said, it's not as comfortable as a regular house. It has its shortcomings, but the benefit is I don't have to spend my life working to fund this house I'm living in. So the media came to interview and everyone thought it was amazing. That's this idea. Don't enter situations where you have to fund a higher lifestyle than necessary. Now, I'm not saying go live in a container. Some people can do it, and some people can't. I'm saying, in general, that's the direction of thought, that you don't have to have all the different types of clothing we have, etc.